This session is from the 2021 Shepherd's 360 International Church Leaders Conference. For more information, visit shepherds360.org.
Okay, let's go into the Logos Bible software presentation. Now you can see what I meant with that risky joke. Anyways, okay, so...
Heretic.
Heretic, exactly. That's right. So, Logos Bible Software. My name's Greg Manette. I've been with Logos, with Faith Life. I was with it when it was just called Logos Bible Software. Then the company, a couple years into when I started working for them, changed the name to Faith Life, because Logos is only one product that Faith Life produces. So they produce Proclaim Church Presentation Software. They produce Faith Life Equip, a whole bunch of different products, like Faith Life TV. So it's a pretty extensive company. We now have over 500 employees across North America, and we now have over 6 million users worldwide in 7 different languages. So the company has grown a lot, especially even during the last year and a half during COVID. We actually grew by over 100 employees, which is kind of like,
Didn't you guys also pick up LifeWay?
We bought WordSearch. Not LifeWay. We bought WordSearch.
Okay.
So we own WordSearch now. We just bought Servant Keeper in the last year. So we keep gobbling up some other companies. So it's it keeps growing. And it's because what we're doing is we're beefing up our church products. So it's like there's literally nobody that can sort of comparable if you offer church products. But I'm not talking about church products right now. I'm talking about Logos Bible Software. And because I only have, about half an hour to do my presentation, take a bit of Q&A afterwards, because I want to honor the time. So we got to be done. Well, what time is it now? Is it 12:20?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
It goes to 1 o'clock? Mm-hmm. 10 minutes to 1. I'm going to ask one of you to, like, remember the old TV shows, the guy put a cane around somebody's neck and pull him off the stage? Mm-hmm. I want you to give me the hook when there's about 10 minutes left so I can take some Q&A, okay? So if you have questions, think about them. But the company now has 6 million users worldwide across their different platforms. So the company got started 30 years ago. It was one of the youngest software developers. Bill Gates hired at Microsoft. His name is Bob Pritchett. He's the owner of Faith Life today. He was coding for Bill Gates a long time ago as a young guy when he was 17, he was a teenager. And he had this idea. He thought, how come the best of technology is purely for the secular business world? Why can't we make it work for the church? Hi. Come on in. I can chug that one after this one. At the end, I'm away at the door. They'll be perfect. Hydrate before and after. They say, hydrate or die, which is true. So anyways, he started making Logos Bible Software in his parents' garage on a table out there. And if I say about, it's because I'm originally from Canada, so I can't. As a Canadian, when you're born, they give us a little injection of maple syrup, and we can always tell where the Stanley Cup is at any given moment. And sadly, it's been stuck in America since 1993, and no Canadian team has won the cup since then. So we can all bow our heads and pray for Canada right now. Anyways, yeah, but the majority of the players and all the teams are Canadians, so there you go. So, I forgot what I was just saying. I was talking about, the software.
Coding in a garage.
Coding. So, he approached, at the time, it's like the way it is now for a lot of companies. If you create something while you're working for a company, they can technically own that intellectual property. So, he approached Bill Gates with it. He said, I got this idea. I've sort of been working on it. It's a very primitive version. Bill's like, that sounds like a really cool idea. We're not interested in that at all at Microsoft. So, you can just have it. Which was really nice because it's a pretty big company now, and Bob's done quite well off of it. And now we have the most powerful advanced Bible study tool in the world, which is Logos Bible Software. I just blabbed for an hour in the previous workshop, so I just need to get a little sip. So after 30 years, we are only on version 9 of the software, so in order for the software to come out with a different version, we put a lot of work into it. We need to make sure there are new, really good features and a really good library that we can beef it up to be able to put out a new version of the software. Version 9 just came out a year ago, so it's very powerful, as you're going to see in the next few minutes. This is Logos version 9. This is what it looks like on your laptop. When you have Logos, you can download it to as many devices as you have. You can download it to your home computer, your tablet, your smartphone, Mac or PC. It goes across all of your devices. It is an individual user license, so it's one user. However, because Logos, we believe that man and woman become one. At Logos, we don't mess with that. So therefore, a married couple can share the same user license. There you go. Exactly. So this is Logos, the way it looks like on the laptop. It looks slightly different on the tablet, a little bit different on the smartphone, like any kind of software does. And so this is the homepage. It changes every day. There's different articles, infographics, videos to show you how to use features in the software. So you can learn how to use the software just by looking at the homepage itself. It's going to teach you how to use the software. It's going to give you new archaeological discoveries related to the Holy Land. There's an article on what a first century tomb would look like, how it's constructed, before and after, a feature I'm going to show you later on, and different books in your library. There's a Spurgeon quote ready to go. I can right-click and export that to a PowerPoint slide or Keynote. So the image is ready to go. So Logos is awesome. This is new in Logos 9, so we have the dashboard. You can customize this. You click the plus button. I can put a video course from Logos on the front page there and stick to my course. And I can follow through that. Daily devotional. There's my devotionals over here. Layouts. Lectionary. Prayer list. Reading plan. The sermon you're working on. Or workflow, which we'll look at later on. But it's on the dashboard. So if you're doing a Bible study or working on a sermon, you can just click on your sermon right in the homepage. It'll go back to where you're working on. And it's right there. So it's really, really nice. It saves a lot of time. But the power of the software is not the homepage. The power of the software is that I have a library of over 2,300 books. I click on that by going up to the top of the page, and there's three books. There's two books standing up, one on the side. That's the library. Beside that is the home button. If you're using Logos, you get overwhelmed, you're like, I want to go back and start over again. Don't worry, you're not going to break the software. You can't crack it. Just go click the home button. You're going to go back to this home front page, and you can do a brand new search again. So you can search for a passage or topic, etc. I'm going to show you how to do that in a second. But this is new in Logos 9. This is new. You can now filter through the books in your library. So I can look at, there are 752 commentaries in my library, so I can look at just the commentaries in my library. I can look at my biblical resources, 426, monographs, 398, journal, 100. That guy is not enjoying my presentation, so if someone wants to close that door, he might stop crying. You know? 161 journal articles. And by the way, I have a 5-year-old and 2-year-old at home, so we're just exiting the sleep debt stage right now. And I don't tell my wife this, but I go on work trips to sleep. So like at nighttime, it's like... So sermons, 90 sermons, manuals, ancient manuscripts, encyclopedias. You can filter through the books you have. But up here at the top, let's say it's close to Easter and you're working on a sermon series or a Bible study on the resurrection of Jesus. So I want to get all the information on resurrection from my library. Which of my books talk about that? So I'm going to look for resurrection. Bam! I didn't even press enter. Logos just read through my library and it grabbed, here's 24 resources that I have that give me information on resurrection. So that's pretty cool. You can now filter through your books that way. I can go up here and I can look at, say, which are my books that talk about marriage. There's 27 resources right there. Bam. Pulls right up my library, okay? So, but I don't even really do that. Most of my searches, I do not do that. I don't even have to click on the library books unless I want to read one book by itself individually. Because you can read a book by itself. So let's say you open up the book and like, I want to look at Provan's 1st and 2nd Kings commentary. I'm going to right-click on that, open in a floating window, and you can read that book as an ebook by itself, almost disconnected from the software. So you can read a book all by itself, okay? There's the commentary, there's the book right there. But here's what I do, my searches. Right here, it's called the Go Box. If you can remember one simple phrase, we promise to take you further in your study of God's Word than you ever thought possible. If you can put a passage or a topic in the Go Box, passage, topic, and then click that green button, you can use Logos Bible software. If you can't do that, there's no software on the planet that you'll be able to use. Okay? So I'm going to put in, I'm going to do John chapter 1. So let's put in John chapter 1, and I can either click go or I'm going to click passage study layout, bam. So click that. It's going to take about, 3 or 4 seconds? Logos is reading through 2,900 books in my library, and it's grabbing everything I have on John chapter 1. Imagine having 2,000 plus books at home, and you're ready to look up a passage or topic. How long would it take for you to go through every single one of those books exhaustively and find every single reference to the passage or topic that you're about to study or preach on. That would take a long time. So Logos just read through all the books, and that's finished. English translation of the Bible above. Commentaries open the bottom. All my other commentaries are over there. I click on any one of those commentaries, it opens up exactly where I want it to be, right here at the bottom of the page. So if I'm looking at the Word became flesh, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. If I'm scrolling down through my Bible, look what's happening. Can somebody just tell me what's happened?
Scrolling with you.
It's scrolling with us. Exactly. When I'm reading my Bible in my English paper Bible, my commentaries don't do that for me.
So if you click on all the commentary, what happens to the commentary that you already have?
This commentary in the bottom?
Which is just smaller. Does it just get smaller and you have both of them up, or do you have to click that one all?
Oh, they're sort of like this. Like I have the ESV at the top here. If I click on the NASB, it opens up right beside it. So they open up in tabs beside each other. So if I click on another commentary, it's going to open up as a tab beside this one. Okay. So like you don't have like five commentaries side by side. Right. You can do that. You can set it up that way, but that's overwhelming. You don't want to do that. It's just kind of, So anyways, but here's what's interesting. The reason why this is linked with my Bible is because I did something. And I'm going to show you how to do that right now. You need to link your commentary to the book above, okay, the Bible above. You notice that there's an orange A, so I'm going to go back to ESV. You know, see that orange A up there? That's important. There's three dots up here on the right side of the panel. If you're somebody that really wants to learn how to use Logos, this is really, really helpful. Click on the three dots, and it says link set. And I already have it set as A, so link set. I'm linking these two sets of information together, okay? That's set as A. I'm going to go back down here. And this one already is link set A, but if I open up Carson's commentary, I'm going to open up Pillar Commentary by D.A. Carson. D.A. Carson. It's John Commentary. This one, you'll notice, it is not at verse 14. It's at 1. Because right now it's not linked. There's no orange A up there on this panel. I'm going to go to the right three dots over here, open that up, go to link set A, I'm going to make it A orange, and look at that, automatically went to verse 14. It's linked up with my Bible. So that way your commentary will always follow where you are in your English Bible. That is a massive time savings. Now, also this. And
so
hold
if you just set it to B.
If I set it to B, it would. If you have to make both of them B. If it's B, if I set this as B and this one's A, these will not be linked together.
Right, right.
They have to share the same letter. Because some, you might like, for whatever reason, I don't know, I can't really think of why, maybe you want like only a certain commentary with a certain translation of the Bible to be linked together. But then you want a different one to be linked to that. I don't understand. Maybe there's a reason why people use different letters and colors, but...
Well, no, I'm asking, like, can you have it so that both commentaries are going with your Bible?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yeah,
look.
Oh, okay.
This is. So, like, watch this. If I go up to... I'm going to go up to verse 19. This is on verse 19. If I click on this, this is now also
on
verse 19. They both did it.
I thought it was doing independent.
No. Yeah.
So just, the other Bible translations at verse 19 now?
Yeah. Yes. Is there an easy way to do that in the tablet software?
I don't know. Good question. I used to have a photographic memory, but I ran out of film a long time ago, so I don't really answer that question. So, does that kind of shows you a little bit how that works? So it's like, it's pretty neat. It's like it links all the information together, so you can do a proper study that's organized. The software's powerful like that. Let's say you like what Carson says here. I'm going to go back up to verse 14. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I'm just showing you how to get information quick. And you like what Carson says. You want to keep this and write this in your paper or your sermon. You simply copy it. You open up your Word or your Pages document. This is if you write your sermon in Word or Pages. You open it up, or your paper, whatever you're working on. You right-click, paste it into Word. But look what Logos does on the bottom of the page. It puts the footnote in for you, an exact citation format that you want. Okay? It's kind of funny. Like, I can show these cool Greek searches. Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. People are like, Do a footnote. They're like, wow. But... you can set it up with, and it tells you it's a paper version, page 126. It doesn't say it's an electronic version. So then how do I set up the footnote the way I want it to be? Go to Tools, Scroll down under Utilities to Program Settings. I click on this. Four things down from the top says Citation Style. There are all the different citation styles. You can have them American Anthropological Association, or APA style, or Chicago Manual, or Harvard MLA, Pontifical Biblical Institute, SBL, Turabian. Exactly. So there you go. So whatever you want, you want. Which one do you use?
Not Turabian.
Not Turabian?
I started with Turabian.
There you go, guys. Anyways.
We use the Christian Writers Society.
Right here, Christian Writers Manual of Style. Go. Anyways, so if you click on that, all your footnotes will be done, and Logos will also do your bibliography at the end of your paper or book or whatever you're working on. There you go. So anyways, I'm going to exit of that. That's a quick little thing there for you. So it did your footnotes for you, and let's look at the passage in question.
You mentioned, so if I'm working on a paper, I have several pages,
yep,
and you'll automatically do the bibliography too in the back.
If you use Logos for the pasting of the quotes, it'll do your bibliography at the end. Okay. Go to logos.com/pro. Logos.com/pro, and it'll show you how to do your bibliography at the end of your paper. It's really cool. Yes?
Logos write the paper for me?
What we're working on right now is we're working on creating a hologram. So, like, when you, instead of you being there to preach on Sunday morning, a hologram of you will get up and people will think it's you. So you could actually be lying in bed having a good snooze.
Well, yeah,
and so the hologram
myself
is preaching.
I just want somebody else to write the paper.
There you go.
No. Yes? Are you going to ask a question, ma'am?
No.
Make something funny? I always like funny comments. Please add funny commentary.
Well, I was going to say combine it with ghostwriters.com.
Ghostwriters.com. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Anyways, I forget where I was. Otherwise, so now, let's look at the passage in question. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The reason why I'm parking on this verse is because I have a Jewish friend named Joe. He's not a Christian, and we are good friends. We get together and, you know, we go get a beverage and compare religious, you know, differences. We have fun theological debates, and we are good buddies. And it's pretty neat. So, like, we challenge each other. And I asked Joe one day, I said, what point do you have an issue with John chapter 1? He said, good question. So we looked through the passage together, and he's like, okay. He said, I don't have any problem with John 1, because, you know, in the Sirach, which is a Jewish written text, it talks about, you know, the Logos being involved in creation. So, like, that's sort of like the creative force of God. Okay. And then he got to verse 14. He's like, at that point, I got an issue. It's like, why is that? He says, because as Jews, we don't really have this, the idea of the incarnation is sort of alien to the Jewish sort of mindset. And, like, that God would sort of inhabit or take the form of something. It's like, really? He's like, yeah. So I'd like to push back a little bit on that. He said, okay. So I pulled out Logos, and I opened up the software, and if you take the mouse and Logos, and you hover over any word in your English translation of the Bible, it'll do all your original language studies for you behind the word that you have. So I'm going to look at the word made is, I'm going to go actually, the ESV is better, dwelt among us. So immediately it does two things. It gives you a bar here really quickly. If you understand the original languages, you don't even need the help. It gives you a quick skeneo, verb, aorist, active, indicative, third person singular, Strong's Greek information, right in a quick reference bar, bam. But then over here on the right side of the page, it gives me, pulled up all the original language resources I have. So there's BDAG. If I click on BDAG, there's the BDAG article, the leading lexicon, pulls up the information on that word, on skeneo. And then if I want to look at Theological Dictionary in the New Testament, there it is right there, and I can look up more original language tools. If I scroll down here, it gives me more original language word lookups as well, so I can look at the word skeneo, and let's see if the audio will be turned on. I'm going to see if I hit the audio button, it'll pronounce the word. Maybe it won't, because for whatever reason. I don't know why it's not working.
Skeno.
Oh, there you go.
Skeno.
We'll pronounce the Greek word or the Hebrew and Aramaic a lot for using the Old Testament for the Hebrew and Aramaic, because we want to make sure that when you go to Bible study, you don't, like, read the Greek word for love and call it a gate. So, you know, you got to make sure you pronounce the words properly. So it tells us the word that was used is skeno, and the root word is skene, okay? Why is this important? In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, the commentators tell us this, and the commentaries Logos, the word that was used to translate tabernacle was the word skene. So what is John trying to say here? John is actually reading to a Jewish audience of Jewish believers who are starting to be kicked out of the synagogues because of their faith in Jesus. And that's part of the target audience that John is writing to. And think about it. Let's say you're a Jewish person in the first century, and you're now you are a monotheistic Jew that believe that you're only to worship the one true God, and you're not to worship any other gods, and all of a sudden you've now become a believer in Jesus. And now you have to reframe how you think about God. That's a significant mental shift. I think some of them had a bit of a knot in their stomach when they started to worship Jesus for the first time, because they knew how they were raised, and all of a sudden, they're now incorporating Jesus in their worship. So, John says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's a better translation than most English translations. I actually wish the English translation said tabernacled. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Why is that important? And I said to my friend Joe, I said, well, just like the Shekinah glory dwelt or tabernacled within the tabernacle made of animal skin, now God's very self is now tabernacling within a new tabernacle tent made of human skin. God has done this sort of thing before, but not at this level. There were hints of this activity in the past, but God is doing something even more powerful now in the person of Jesus. So he's like, oh, okay. So it made the wheels start to turn in his head. He had to think about it. So anyways, original language studies can really unpack the power of a passage of scripture that we might have read hundreds of times, and we didn't realize the depths of how powerful it really is, what the author is trying to convey to us. So anyways, with Logos, with just a click of a button or just hovering over any word, you have access to the original languages just by hovering over. I mean, I can even click on this here. I'm going to look at the word, do a word study on skene. Give me every reference to tabernacle in the Bible, and there we go. And there's all the verses that is going to pop up here in a second. 858 results in 814 verses. So there's all the words that are used for skene. Sometimes it's translated as have nests, and then tents, and dwellings, and place, and tent makers, and tabernacles. So there's a range of uses for that word. So Logos will get all the English verses for you, and you can see how that Greek word is used in English translations, the diversity of the word and how it's used. So that's really, really cool. Let's go over here on the left side of the page here, and I think you got another about 10 or 15 minutes. As I said, here's where all the commentaries are. You click on any commentary, it opens up underneath the bottom of the page, okay? Below that, we have cross-references. You don't have to flip back and forth anymore in your Bible. All the cross-references are right there, and they're hyperlinked, so you don't even have to click on them. I just go down here, and like, there's Genesis 1:1, just pops right up. I can just quick get that information. I know what I'm seeing. If I click on that, it'll open up to the verse above here. It'll replace that passage with the verse that you clicked on in the hyperlink. If I scroll down below this, we have cultural concepts. That way, you can try to take off your 21st century glasses and try to look at the ancient context, the themes that are going on in the passage that you're studying, the cultural concepts. Then we have ancient literature. I love this. I think this is awesome because this is every time the earliest commentators we have on scripture, other than scripture itself, are the church fathers. So where do they cite? Where does Chrysostom discuss John chapter 1? Bam. There it is right there. Just hover over. He discusses it in a number of places in his writings. Now there's direct quotations from Chrysostom. When he has allusion to John chapter 1, he speaks on the same topic. Or this isn't talking about John chapter 1, but the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about the same themes that are brought up in John. So there's certain similar themes. So you know, there's Jewish documents. The second to fifth century later gospels, like the Nag Hammadi stuff, they're not canonical, they're way too late, and they're forgeries, but how later Christian sects, how they wrote these other documents, and how they engage with John's gospel. It's kind of interesting to see how they made use of it. So you're getting truly like a time machine of how this was used and understood throughout the centuries. It's kind of neat.
That populates based on your library.
This is based on your library. If you have these documents in the software, it'll pull up those results. It's exactly
I'm assuming you've got the main collection
gold
up on there, whatever it is. Because I've got, I don't know, platinum or diamond, something like
that. It has some of them, but yeah, I have whatever one I want to get. So it's pretty, anyways. So yeah, you obviously got to have a big enough library to pull the resources, but the more substantial library you have, the more search results you're going to get, okay? And then important words. So there's word studies, systematic theologies. So I can look at, like, Christology. And if I click on that, it's going to give me the Baptist perspective of Christology, Anglican. You know, it's going to give me denominational breakdown in different doctrines, important key passages, which is really, really cool. Then I want to show you this one. This is one that, like, most people would just scroll down here and they would never even give this a second thought. It's called thematic outlines. This is one of the best features in Logos Bible software, and hardly anybody goes to it. I'm going to show you why. Have you ever seen it before?
No, but I was about to ask, do you have where it can click on place names and see geography and history and all that?
Of course. I'm going to show that in a minute. Thank you. First, thematic outlines. Unfortunately, the TV is like cutting off half the font, so my apologies. Okay? This is so awesome. If you're teaching, how many of you are a preacher or a teacher or you lead a small group Bible study? Okay. Let's say you need to teach on the theme of baptism. I mean, that's not a divisive topic at all in the Christian church at all. But let's look at baptism in the Gospels, okay? So I have this copy to Microsoft. So I can have it text edit. I can have it set up so it'll go to Pages, Microsoft Word, or a sermon I'm working on in Logos, Faith I Proclaim. But I'm going to keep it at Microsoft, okay? I'm going to get rid of that right there. We're not looking at Approaches to Witness right now. Looking at baptism in the Gospels. I want to see everything in the Gospels relating to baptism in the Gospels. Click on this arrow right here. It opens up, gives me a synopsis, breakdown. There's key verses both from the Old Testament and then into the New Testament. It gives me a breakdown of everything on that. I click more. It gives me like a huge study on that. Anyways, I don't know why I can just... Baptism in the Gospels. There we go. So let's say I want to get this information, and you'll notice that it only gives me the hyperlink. It doesn't give me the verse right in there. But I want to do a teaching on baptism in the Gospels for a small group. Maybe it's a sermon series I'm doing. And I want to get the skeleton. Give me all the verses and the basic themes. But then I'm going to put my own material around it and build off of it. Watch what you do. You go copy. Made a little audio sound. Funny. I'm going to get rid of this quote here from the footnote. I'm going to right-click that there, and bam, look what Logos just did. It put that into my Word document and expanded. It didn't just give me the reference. It gave me the whole verse there in the translation that I want. And then I can build around this. You can write your own material around it. Go use Logos to find more information on that. Open up dictionary articles, encyclopedias. Yeah. You have a question, sir?
Looking down before you got there. How did you get
there? How did I get this? This is your teaching on baptism in the Gospels. Just time for you to do the work and build around it. But how did I do that? In passage guide on the left side of the screen here. So like underneath where the commentaries are listed up here. This is where commentaries are listed. Scroll down. There's cross-references, cultural concepts, ancient literature that sheds light on the passage you're studying. Well, that important words, systematic theologies, important keywords, passages, then thematic outlines. So it's a thematic outline of a topic relating to what you're preaching or teaching on. So it gives you like the whole basic skeleton framework what you're about to teach. It is a massive time saver, and people just scroll over this and don't even give it a second thought.
How did you get it on the board?
I clicked right here. Here on the right side of the screen. Mm-hmm. If I go over to the right.
There you go.
Just popped up. I clicked the copy button, mm-hmm. and then I went over to Word, opened it up, and I pressed right-click, paste. Whoosh.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do you think that would be helpful for any of you?
Could you show an example with the angel of the Lord?
Is it in there? If it's not one of the thematic lines, it wouldn't be there.
Oh, so you only have certain...
Only certain ones. It's not exhaustive. It's some of the base, like, broad theological topics. I don't know if the angel of the Lord would be like a theological topic. It's more of a, it's a person. You're right. Yeah, that's true.
So is that offered in whatever program you purchase?
Yep, that's right. It's offered in, silver and higher. Silver and higher. Yeah. Bronze is really just a base starting library. When you get silver and higher, you get all the features of the software. But let me keep going before we've got to roll out of 12. I haven't even shown you some of the cool things yet. So it was really cool things. And so anyways, this is some of the key topics. I mean, it's crazy. I'm stuffed. These are all the different thematic outlines. You know, there's infographics. There's maps. So there's maps relating to this text. So let's say you want to open up a map. Let's click on this right here. Bam, I'm going to open that up. I'm going to make this in a right click, open in a floating window. Here is a map from my library. And let's say if I hold the command button. There's a map there. I'm going to open up a different type of map. I'm going to open up, say, this one right here. Hopefully this one will open up a little bit better, I think. Yeah, so there's maps within the software. You can scroll and you can see.
That in PowerPoint? That map?
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can right-click on it, and you can send it as an image. And you can
send a PowerPoint.
Send a PowerPoint right there, bam. And you have full license to use every image in Logos. You just send it over. But I want to go to tools here. So let's forget all about the cool Bible study stuff we just looked at. Let's look at some of the interactive media. But to save time, I'm going to click on this and look at a template that I already had from before. I did this in Kentucky a few weeks ago, another conference. So it's going to look up. It's going to take a couple seconds. You can see how organized my life is right there. where we get started. And there's John 1 again, but I'm just going to minimize this because on the back here are some of the interactive tools. So we have a feature of the software called Before and After, where we've taken hundreds of aerial photographs of the land. You find these by clicking on Tools. And so this is where the temple stood 2,000 years ago. We made this tool because a lot of young people are drowning out when they hear a sermon because all they're hearing is words, and we live in a visual world, so it is helpful to use visual images to help with your preaching and teaching, because people can see and they can visualize what they're hearing. And because young people, whether we like it or not, they are using social media. They're living in a visual world that's moving fast. In order to get their attention, we've created a feature to help them make sense of the biblical world as it connects to the real world today. So, key archaeological sites relating to the Holy Land. So this is where the temple stood 2,000 years ago. You can see there's the Muslim Dome of the Rock right there. What did the temple look like 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus? We've hired graphic artists to render what the temple would have looked like 2,000 years ago in the time of Jesus. We have ancient Capernaum. We have like Masada. We got all these tons of cool places that you can do before and after by opening up that tool called Before and After. Next feature I'm going to show is Psalms Explorer. There's a lot to this, but for sake of time, I'm going to move quick. Imagine if you're sent to go and do a counsel somebody at a hospital, and you're like, well, what am I going to read from the Psalms to encourage them? Well, here's all the Psalms listed 1 to 150, but if I click on the genre button, what you're definitely not going to want to do is you're not going to point them to the 40% of the Psalms that are Psalms of lament, because it probably won't boost their spirits when they're in the hospital, maybe going through a challenging time. Instead, you might want to show them the Psalms relating to trust or thanksgiving or praise, something more uplifting. So that way, these Psalms are all represented by a different sized bubble. There's Psalm 119, it's the big one. So I can see there's the Psalms, how they're grouped together. I can look at them based on their structure. So there's the Psalms that are written in an acrostic structure or a chiasm, where the top and the bottom kind of all relate to each other. And the software shows you that. If you click on one of those, it'll show you how the structure. And then this one here, I don't know how to pronounce it. Strophe? I've never known how to properly pronounce that word, but it is a poetic structure. But I can't pronounce the word.
Can all those tell
you? No. It only does that for Greek. It doesn't do it for English. Okay. It expects too much of us. You know, it expects us to know English words. Strophe? I think it's strophe.
Strophe.
There you go. He can teach in Mandarin, and you can translate English words to English-speaking people. That's awesome. And I can look at it based on the author. So, like, who wrote the Psalms? If you assume David is attributed to the author of all the Psalms, you'd be incorrect. So, therefore, the software helps break down who we think, contributed the various Psalms. And it might give you insight. That way you can help to understand, get in the mind of the author, and make better sense of the Psalm that you're reading. So, anyways, it goes on and on and on. But I want to quickly show this in order. This is a way to filter through the Psalms. So if I go down here, I look at themes. Maybe you want to focus on what are the Psalms that speak about God's faithfulness, 56 Psalms relating to God's faithfulness. But I want to do God's faithfulness. Maybe people are going through persecution. Oof. There are 21 Psalms that relate to God's faithfulness in a time of persecution. They're not directly on that topic, but they would be relevant under these two topics. Okay? But then we can look at something more like uplifting. We could look at, for instance, worshiping God, and you want to worship God and focus on, you know, God's sovereignty. If I click on that, there are 24 Psalms that connect with the two themes of worshiping God and God's sovereignty. Okay? Time to wrap up. And so as I wrap up, I'm going to show you four more features of the software. This is Weights and Measures Converter. Remember the back of your Bibles? Well, 100 denarii costs $800. The size of the ark, 300 cubits, is a little more than 10 humpback whales, end to end. If you ever see that in real life, take a picture of it, and you'll win a National Geographic Pictorial Award, because it would be the first time that picture was ever taken in history, because that would be truly amazing. So it gives you visual perspective. Or, Parable of the Talents. The guy buries the one talent. How much is a talent worth? One talent. Hmm?
I was going to say, how much in the U.S. dollar?
Wait, the U.S. dollar, $1.208 million. $1.2 million in the U.S. dollar. That's what a one talent is worth. How many of you knew that before today? You do now. And then you can build your sermons within the software. So I can write my sermons within the software. And watch this. So if I put in like, this is awesome sermon. This is my own content, but I want to turn to a PowerPoint slide. Just highlight it or just cover over it and then bam there, click on that, and it creates the PowerPoint slide in your sermon for you right there. Boom. There's your sermons. They're done. Or if I go below that, I'm going to put in, say, John 1 verse 14. Put it in. Bam. It puts the passage right into my manuscript for me. There's my sermon. And on the left side of the screen, the PowerPoints for my sermon is ready to go. Done. Finished. And I can manage my sermons throughout the whole year. I can
look at
them.
Under tools.
Sorry?
It's under tools.
Yes, under tools. This is going to save you so much time as a preacher. You can put, these aren't real sermons. None of these are real sermons. This is just the demo account. You can plan out your entire year's sermon calendar. These are all the Sundays and the weeks you have to work on them. And you put in the key metadata on the right side of here, and you can even, you're tagging your sermons with topics and the passages you're preaching on. So if your preacher teaching the same passage or topic or in the future, it'll pull up your sermon results along with commentaries, dictionaries, encyclopedias, and your own stuff.
If you got too much stuff, will it take the slides and split them and format them for you?
Well, yeah, because right here, if I go back here, this passage there is on one slide. But let's say I look at all of John chapter 1. So that's a huge amount of information right there. Look how many different slides there are. Whole pile of different slides. It formatted it and did everything for me. And you can right-click on this. You can edit it. It'll open up media. And we have 30,000 different background images you can use. You could have a blue font, blue background. You can have flowers. You could have pictures of the Holy Land. And then the font will be whatever you want it to be, different sizes. You can customize it yourself. It's pretty cool. And it's very fast. I'm going to finish with this. Counseling Guide. This is brand new in Logos 9. It's one of the greatest things we've added to the software. It's a counseling tool to help you get biblical counseling resources quick. So let's look at the theme of addiction. Addiction is not a single topic, it is many topics. So Logos pulls up adrenaline addiction, food addiction, sex addiction, nicotine addiction, internet, body image, drug abuse, gambling, internet, and social media use. How many of us went to seminary 20 years, 30 years ago and did a seminar on internet and social media use? It didn't exist 23 years ago. Substance abuse, toxic faith in Christianity, and video game addiction. How many of us know somebody that knows somebody that has a video game addiction? Video game addiction is huge. How many of us struggle with using social media too much or looking at our phones? Me. I'm not going to lie to you. Me. So, internet and social media use. I'm going to click on this one. This is relevant to my life. So it gives me a summary of the topic, and then it gives me key counseling topics. And but it's not pulling up results right there on the bottom, but it gives me the quick reference guide to biblical counseling. So I'm going to click on this right here. Not sure why it's not working. I think the software just like says, Greg, you're done. There we go. There it is, counseling guide. So I'm going to put in... there we go. There it is there. Summary of the topic. And then it gives me different books that I can use. And it gives me, yeah, it's like, there it is there. Definitions and key thoughts. Assessment interview questions to ask people if you're counseling them. There's the questions to ask. Wise counsel. Action steps. I bet there's a problem. Again, right? Biblical insights, because it's Christian counseling, not secular counseling. There's verses... prayer starter, recommended resources you might want to check out, and websites you can go to get more information. This is on thousands of topics. That's all within Logos 9 now. So anyways, pretty cool. So anyways, within a quick amount of time, we start at the homepage, put a passage or topic in, click go. Logos grabbed all the information for us. What used to take tons of time can be done in a fraction of time. And my entire library... right here. It weighs less than two big commentaries. And I can prepare my sermon at a coffee shop, at home, at the office. I'm not lugging all the books with me. In an airplane, everything's right here. In fact, if I'm working on something on this device and I press update, it'll save in Logos' cloud. You don't have to have an external hard drive. Logos backs it all up in the cloud. And when you go and open up your computer at home, if you have a work computer and a home computer, or if you're using your phone, you can work on your phone, press update, it'll save the information. If you open up your computer, the other device, all the information you just worked on is on that as well. So it's awesome. That's really big. Anyway, last questions. Thank you for being generous with your time with me.
What of those last five tools is available on the bronze?
Which of the five tools is available in bronze? Good question. Bronze has, it does not have the original language resources, and it does not have the sermon builder and the biblical counseling tools, and it does not. It doesn't have the Psalms Explorer. So it is really basically just like it is searchable. So it'll read through all your books. So all the books that are tagged in Logos, it still is like a full time research assistant, and so it's a good place to start. But when you get silver's the first level of the package that gives you pretty much everything. Silver is our most popular package, silver and gold. And then silver is built for the educated layperson that wants to get more commentaries, gets all the features that I showed. And then gold is our ministry library. I'll show you the prices on that really quick. The order form has incorrect pricing because I didn't put the 24-month payment plans on this. We are offering 24-month payment plans at this conference. It's good till 7 o'clock tonight and tomorrow until 2:30. And that's when the conference is over. And let me quickly show you. The pricing to wrap up, 15% conference discount, monthly payment option. I'm going to show you. We also have the software in dark mode, so you can have it set in dark mode, so there's like no blue, not as much blue light. Bronze, as you wanted to know, it's a Bible study library, good place to start. Print book value. If you buy the books, printable 500 books, you spend almost $7,000. The regular price for Logos, because it's in digital format, for all those books and software, $629. With the 15% off, the special conference price is $535. And you can do that for a 24-month payment plan. You're not renting the software. It's not a subscription. You're buying it. After the payment plan's done, you own it. And then the next is our Word Study Library. It's the first package that has all the features. It's a library of 750 books. Print book value is $11,000. Regular price is $1,000. $849 is the special event price. And the monthly price is $41 for 24 months. And then gold is our ministry library. That's preaching, teaching, apologetics, church history, theology, counseling books. This is anybody involved in ministry. Print book value is about $17,000. Regular price is $1,549 for the software. $1,317 is the event price. $59 a month, 24 months. And finally, our academic library. This includes like the New International Greek Testament Commentary set. It's got BDAG, Alan Baumgartner. It's like really big package of like 1,700 books. If you were to buy the books in print, you'd spend about $23,000. Regular price $21.49. Special event price $18.27. $82 a month is the payment plan. As I said, you can download it to all of your devices forever, Mac or PC, and it's a family user license. And if you have a previous version of software, the upgrade I'm offering counts toward the price, counts towards upgrade as well, the discount. The discount counts towards upgrades as well. Slow down sometimes. Tongue gets ahead of me. If you are a former WordSearch user, you get an additional discount as well. Come see me and I'll pull up your account. And all your WordSearch books will be brought into Logos as well. And I'll end this quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. There's nothing more important in the Christian life than the way in which we approach the Bible and the way in which you read it. It is our textbook, it is our only source, it is our only authority. We know nothing about God and about the Christian life in a true sense apart from the Bible. Any last questions as we wrap up? And if any of you like an order form to fill out, I have them here so it can save you some time so you don't have to go downstairs to the booth. So I don't know if there's another workshop now or main session. Yes, sir.
If you already have a library,
yep.
Is there dynamic pricing?
Yes, there is, because you never pay for the same book twice. So you get an additional discount. And I can pull up your account, apply the conference discount. And how many of you are a student or an alumni? So the prices I just gave is 15% off. I will double your discount, make it 30% off. So your prices will be even less. That's only at this conference. If you call us directly over the phone, we will not give you that. You only get the discount that's on the website. So it's conference only, and the 24-month payment plan is only at this event as well. So, yeah. So the pricing I gave you is actually better than what I showed. Any other last-minute questions? Would anybody like to see an order form so they can look at the pricing and think about it, and then come talk to me down at the booth? There you go.
You're going to be at the booth after this?
Sorry?
You're going to be at the booth after this?
I'm going to the booth right now. There you go. So remember, the prices only show 15% off. I'm going to count you all in this room, even if you're not alumni, as Shepherd's students, because you're at this Shepherd's Church. So you're going to get the academic conference discount of 30% off. So whatever the price here at the bottom where it says today's savings, you can double that and deduct that from the sale price in the blue boxes. Okay? Thank you.
Is that bronze?
Yes, it does. It does. It's a really good library. It's $500. Yeah, it's fully charged.
Thank you.
Yeah, so these prices here, whatever, as I said, all make it 30% off. We'll count you the Shepherd students. Take a look at it, but all the conference discount, it has to be filled out and given to me at the booth, because I will manually apply the discount in our system to make sure you get that price. Yes?
I got another guy on staff who was ill, couldn't come, but
yep.
Registered.
Yep.
I fill out for him. We're looking
absolutely.
To upgrade, I think, from 7.
I need to look up your upgrade. So come to the booth. I'll look up his account and your account. They'll give you the conference discount on it and tell you exactly what your pricing will be.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Greg. Very good.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this session from the 2021 Shepherd's 360 International Church Leaders Conference. This material is copyrighted and may not be altered or sold. For information, visit shepherds360.org.